Hebrews chapter 12, where we left off last Sunday in our message about Mount Sinai and coming by Mount Sinai. We read here and came here about our blessing, the blessing of our Lord upon us here today. And let's read this again. Verse number 22 of Hebrews chapter 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. What a blessing that we have, our Lord having gone by Mount Zion, by Mount Sinai for us. And we have this here about it's not Sinai that we are come, our Lord having dealt with Sinai, but we have come to Zion, unto Zion. I want to preach a message this morning with the Lord's blessing. Thank God for Mount Zion. Thank God for Mount Zion. Now, the wording here in verse number 22, it's a present tense, but ye are come. Ye are come. There's a tense here indeed that it is present tense. And we've pointed out in times past about the blessings of our Lord upon us and how it is that we don't go to a smoking mountain to worship. We don't experience we can certainly experience the awesomeness of God, but not the terribleness of God, the mountain or the church building being on a smoke and these dividing lines that if you cross that dividing line, it's going to mean certain death and one failure. Or one failing of the order that's been given will result in certain doom and destruction. It's not that way. Our brother writes unto us, our Lord tells us, the city of the living God. We've come unto Zion. And you know, we do so in our worship. We do so in our service. We indeed have come into the kingdom of our Lord. We know our Lord is King. We know He is at hand. We know He's worked in us. He's blessed us with Olmsted Baptist Church. We that are saved and members of Olmsted Baptist Church. He's blessed us in this congregation. And we experience the goodness of God in that. And there's certainly a present tense in this. You are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Well, we're tasting of that some, but we're not experiencing it completely, are we? Not only is there a present tense that is indicated here, but there's also a future tense indeed. The heavenly Jerusalem to an innumerable company of angels. They are the ministering spirits of God. You know, I've never seen one. Have you? Have you ever seen an angel of the Lord? No, but we've experienced the ministry of our Lord through His angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Well, we are here at Olmsted Baptist Church and we experience that blessing of the Lord's institution of the church. But we're not all gathered together yet. There is a church in glory. Those that have been members of the Lord's churches and that He added and that died and went on to be with the Lord, they're there with the Lord in that church. But one day, the Lord's churches are all be met together in the Lord's church with Him forever. He is the firstborn. And aren't you glad? He's the firstborn of God. He, by His life, has birthed us and brought many sons to glory. He's doing so and will do so. He's the first fruits. And speaking about the Lord being first, He has raised from the dead. There have been our brothers and sisters that have done so, and we will too. Which are written in heaven. Is your name written there? Yeah, those that are saved, they know. We know our name is written in heaven. You know what? But we haven't seen that it's written in heaven. You know, we've not seen it. This passage speaks about present tense and future tense indeed. And to the God, and to God, the judge of all. You know that the Lord's the judge? Yeah, we do. We submit to that, don't we? We're thankful that that's the case. We rejoice in that. Oh, we don't want to fail our Lord, but praise God, we have a merciful judge, don't we? And because of Christ, we have redemption and atonement, a mediator. And one to intercede. We've come unto God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We've been justified. We've been made as if we've never sinned before the Lord. But you know, one day we're going to experience that even greater. Thank God for Mount Zion. Mount Zion. In this passage, again, a present tense that we taste of and experience, but indeed a future tense. And that's what we want to look about more, is this future tense. Thank God for Mount Zion. Mount Zion in the scriptures, there's a mention of Zion, and over in Deuteronomy, as Brother Moses is talking about the dividing lines of the land and how that's going to be. And that doesn't seem to be the Zion that we're talking about. But in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we see the first mention of this place, Zion. I tell you what, I was really surprised in this. I'd never done a study about Mount Zion and how it is referred. It's not only the mount, but it's the city, and we're going to see that. First mention here is Brother David, as he's been anointed king and has been reigning as king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, leading the nation in a way pleasing unto the Lord, and he himself operating in a way pleasing unto the Lord. Not a perfect man, but a man desirous of the Lord in everything. He wants to do what's right. He wants to do well. He's reigned in Hebron for 7 years, and he began to reign when he was 30 years old. And it says here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 7, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David." You know, why? Why go there? I tell you what, there's something about that place. I've never been to Zion. I've never been to this place, Zion. But you know what? One day we will go there. One day we will have our ticket punched and we will go and see this place, Zion. There was something to hear that this stronghold of Zion, that it was necessary for David to take. It says here, the same is the city of David. David wanted to make that city his city from which he reigned, because he saw and understood some things. The desire of the Lord is in him regarding this place, this place of Zion. In 2 Kings chapter 19, as we walk through the scriptures and we just take a look, there's no way for us to be able to engage all that we see in the scriptures about Zion. We're just going to kind of scratch the surface and glance off of it and consider it a little bit. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we see this in verse number 21. I'm sorry, let me get over to 2 Kings. I'm in 1 Kings. That won't work. 2 Kings chapter 19, Brother Hezekiah is having some trouble. This man Sennacherib has sent a letter and threatenings against the nation, against the that part of the kingdom. And Hezekiah has prayed. He's rent his clothes before the Lord. He sought the Lord's face and for his help and mercy in dealing with this insurmountable enemy. Listen quickly here what the word of the Lord is regarding this place. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse number 21, Isaiah is speaking unto King Hezekiah. He says, "This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him, Sennacherib. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee." This one, referring to the nation, has looked on at Sennacherib and his pursuits, his goals, his threatenings of what he's going to do. And the Lord likens her unto the daughter of Zion, has looked and despised thee, Sennacherib. Listen to what he says. "The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee and laughed thee to scorn." Now, you know, I don't see in this that Hezekiah was laughing too much. But this is what the Lord says. This is how important this place is to him. "The daughter of Jerusalem," now we see a mention here regarding Zion, is that of the city. "The city of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee." You know how when you see something that's just out of place, someone's behavior is unsightly, or an idea or pursuit is just really unreasonable, or that, what will we do? Maybe you might do that with your children when you've told them to obey and disciplined them for not obeying, and they disobey, and you've disciplined them and they disobey, and then they do it again. And that's what Israel has done. That's what the Lord has said. She has shaken her head at thee. Verse 22, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, the Lord asked? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? The Lord's asking Sennacherib, who have you done that to? Even against the Holy One of Israel. Now, the Lord has taken great offense at this man, this king's threat upon his city. His city. There, Zion. Zion. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Jerusalem. This city, this place, this mount, this stronghold is indeed very important to our Lord. He's serious about those regarding the assailants of Zion, isn't he? In Psalm chapter 2, the psalmists had much to say about Zion. Let's take a walk over through here through the book of Psalms and see what they have to say. Zion. Thank God for Zion. In Psalm chapter 2, verse number 6, Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, verse 7, the Lord says this, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. You know, we know that that's prophetic of Christ. And you know what? Along with Christ is this place. I will set my king, God says. Who is the Lord's king? Jesus is the Lord's king, isn't he? He will set him upon my holy hill of Zion. His holy hill of Zion is the headquarters for God's king of men, our Lord Jesus. And in chapter 9, let's read over here, Psalm 9, verse 11. Psalm 9, verse 11, listen to what it says. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion, the Lord dwelling in Zion, declare among the people his doings. It's headquarters for our Lord. It's a special place. For some reason, it's a special place unto him. Brother Asaph, the psalmist in Psalm 48, let's take a look over here, Psalm 48. Psalm 48, verse number 1. Great is the Lord. We sing this, don't we? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. I tell you what, it's worthy to be sung about. This wonderful place, this place that the Lord has set his attention to. The great Lord is to be praised there. It is the mountain of his holiness, his greatness towards us. How it is, the salvation of the Lord, as it tells us in Romans chapter 1, that the righteousness and the holiness, the greatness, the blessing of the Lord is revealed unto us from faith unto faith. As the Lord saves sinners, as he redeems, as he brings sinners unto him, his wondrousness is revealed. Beautiful for situation, the scripture tells us, this mountain of Zion, the joy of the whole earth. Really? Well, I tell you what, it's a joy for you and me, isn't it? Because we are thankful for what has happened at this place, aren't we? And we look to this place and we look in the scriptures and we rejoice at the Lord's dealing with this place and the things that he's brought to us from this place. It says here, the joy of the whole earth, not right now, but will be. It's a joy to the Lord's people. Though is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. It is his headquarters indeed. In chapter 50, Brother Asaph writes here in verse number 1, the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. It's pretty rough over there in Jerusalem right now. I tell you what, as our brother has pointed out, as we took a look in the book of Ezekiel, one day that place is going to shine. It's going to shine. It's going to shine with the brilliance of the work and the building of the Lord. It's going to shine because our Lord is there. It is his headquarters. And I tell you what, the world needs to take note of it indeed. In Psalm 74, verses 1 and 2, Brother Asaph writes, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Speaking of the chastisement of the Lord, he says, remember, he pleads with the Lord, remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old. You know what? We're a congregation purchased, aren't we? We are. We are a congregation purchased. He was talking about the nation. We understand that and know that about the nation of Israel and the Lord's great working and doing. But, you know, we're thankful for the Lord's work and putting us in the congregation too, aren't we? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed. He's redeemed us. This Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. You know, now, Mount Zion, Jerusalem, from the standpoint of our day-to-day lives and the way that we live and where we go and all that, you know, we are of that of what the Lord did regarding the gospel and his church and the Great Commission. We're part of that uttermost parts of the world, right? But you know what? We've got the blessing of our Lord and what he's done there and will do with Zion. We are the benefactors of that. But then one day our hearts indeed, physically with those new bodies, our hearts will be turned to Zion and our Lord there and praising and worshiping him there in that place. What a wonder, what a blessing it is. Our Lord's love for this place. We see this in Psalm 87. Turn over here, if you will. Psalm 87. Psalm chapter 87, verse number 1 through 7. We'll read this entire psalm. Listen to this. Our Lord's love for this place. What this place means. If you will, it's kind of the place where the Lord has come down, if you will, unto mankind. In Psalm 87, verse number 1, his foundation is in the holy mountains. I want you to remember that word foundation. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. You hear that? More than the dwellings of Jacob, the patriarch of Israel, the one that had those sons that the tribes of Israel were named after, he loves this place more than where they dwelt. The dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Just think about that for a while. That's what we're doing here this morning, just thinking about these things, the city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it is said, it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he rideth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Brother Korah, or the psalmist, is rejoicing in his citizenship there in Jerusalem, in Zion. He's thankful that the Lord caused him to be born in that place that is so has so much the Lord's love and attention. As well as the singers, as the players on instruments shall be there, all my springs are in thee. As the Lord has a focus upon this Mount Zion, so does the psalmist and rejoices in the Lord's love for this place. He loves this place too. Let's take a look over at Psalm 99. Psalm 99, let's read here. The Lord reigneth, verse number 1, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered. answer them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God, for thou wast a God that forgavest them. Isn't that wonderful? Though thou tookest vengeance on their inventions, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And again, you and I, as the Lord told the woman at the well at Sychar in John chapter 4, that the place, the geography isn't going to matter. In Jerusalem, there's a time that now is, rather, that in Jerusalem or in this the mount that they held to, that the woman at the well at Sychar was dealing mount, I can't think of it, but the Lord said that isn't going to be the place, because the Lord seeks those that look to worship him in spirit and in truth. Right here in this time that we're at, the church age. The church age, where two or three, and he's talking about church capacity, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I tell you what, the Lord hadn't forgotten about his holy hill. He hadn't forgot about his city and all things that have been declared. And one day we will rejoice in our Lord in that place. Psalm 102, verse number 16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. You hear that? When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Isn't that something about all the things that we've looked at here in recent months and maybe the last year about what the Lord's going to do over there in Jerusalem and the building of the temple and the millennial reign and all those things? Our brother in the eschatology study that he did and those things beyond, which we'll touch on some of those this morning. Psalm 102:16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He's got to tell you what, there's a construction project coming and our Lord is going to be honored and blessed above all in it. Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14, for the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it, the psalmist declares. Psalm 147, verse 12. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Isn't that something? You and I, we're pretty thankful, and I'll use this word in the right way. We're pretty proud of the United States. And of course, we've got some wicked things going on in our land. But aren't you thankful that you were born here? Don't we esteem our nation the best of all the nations of the earth? We do. We have a great blessing, as we mentioned last Sunday. Indeed, we are a people found in that 10th and 11th hour of the blessings of the Lord. You know, as our Lord said, we are found in a blessing in the time that we have lived. As our Lord said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You know, in time, seem to be the last. But you know what? We have great blessings. We have great blessings from our Lord and very little trial in regards to the faith. But you know what? This city will be the place of our Lord and the place of our focus. When we are with our Lord and we go and do the things that he has for us in the millennia, the things that he has for us in eternity, in the new heaven and the new earth, you know what? The United States of America will just be a memory. It'll be a memory because we'll have the best of the best in our Lord, his city, and his land. It says in Psalm 149, verse 2, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. We come to the book of Isaiah, and again, we don't have time. I know I'm hurriedly going through these passages, but Isaiah chapter 2, I want you to take a look over here. If you have your Bible, take a look over here and read this for yourself. Isaiah chapter 2, listen to what the prophet and the Lord declared by the prophet in his day. Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. It'll be number one. It'll be the highest. It'll be the greatest. And all nations shall flow into the it. Hear that? All the nations. Again, they'll flow into that place because the Lord's declared it. The Lord will be there. Verse number 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You know, we experience that now as his children. But you know, that day it'll be even greater and more blessed, won't it? Out of that place, the Lord will teach us and teach the inhabitants of the world. Isaiah 34, verse number 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. Brother Isaiah talks about the judgment, the coming of the day of the Lord, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. That verse stood out to me. I tell you what, you say Jerusalem, you've got a controversy, don't you? There's one party that says, down with it, burn it down, get rid of it, it's ours, take those Jews and push them out of here. The Jews said, that is our city, that is our place, it's the Lord's place. We need to be there. And back and forth, there's a kind of, there's those that don't care and said, just do whatever you got to do to make the controversy end. But the Lord says the controversy won't be ended till he ends it. Because it's his place. What is it from the standpoint of the world and the world system, the world technology and all that? And certainly the world has been blessed by the Jews. But what is it that Jerusalem has to offer? Indeed, there's history there. But what is it that Jerusalem has to offer amongst mankind? And from the man's standpoint, I speak as a man. But why is there such great controversy regarding such? It's the Lord's place. I tell you what, it's a spirit of Satan working amongst the depravity of men and the depravity of men working that they want to squash out everything that has to do with God Almighty. It is his city. It is his mount. And the Lord will settle indeed that controversy of Zion. His vengeance will fly in that day and it will be settled. Isaiah chapter 52. We come here to verse number 6. Isaiah 52, verse number 6. Therefore my people shall know my name, the Lord says. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. You know, Israel, led into captivity, they were looking for a redeemer. They were looking for a deliverer, weren't they? We who are dead in trespasses and sins, the word of God came to us and told us about a redeemer that we needed. And he dealt with our sin and has brought us to him by his great salvation. You know, this passage is mentioned over in Romans chapter 10, isn't it? We are thankful for the gospel that the Lord has brought to us by his messengers, by his ministers, by his people that have been a witness unto us. Well, the genesis for this passage is that the Jews looked for a deliverer for them. You know what? He's one and the same. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, a deliverer for their nation. He said, the one that'll bring these good tidings, the publishing of peace that brings the good tidings of good, and establishes salvation, he will be glorious in our sight. The Jews have missed him. Thank God that he's caused us to see the light. Amen. And we haven't missed him. And then one day our Lord will reveal himself unto them. Thy God reigneth. They'll look upon him whom they pierced, it says in Zechariah. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. What a day that will be. And then we come to Zechariah chapter 8. Let's read over here. Let's see over here. A passage that we want to touch on. It's escaping me. Zechariah chapter 8. We read here in verse number 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." Verse number 3, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion." He's coming back. "And will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city, a city of truth." You know, truth has fallen in the streets in our day, hasn't it? The leaders of our nation and the people, the bureaucrats of our nation, they wrangle. They can't find the truth if it would slap them in the face. Isn't that the way it is? Truth has indeed fallen in the street. The Lord says there's going to be the city of truth, and it's going to be my city, my holy mountain. We'll finish there, verse number 3. "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." We see that Zion is that city, Jerusalem. We see it is the holy mountain of the Lord. In chapter 9 of this book, we see here the prophecy of our King soon to come. And I tell you what, this is an interesting thing. This is really an interesting thing that I just not had seen it in this way before. Maybe you had. It's been a blessing to me. And if you haven't, I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Here in Zechariah chapter 9, we see what is prophesied and that is mentioned in Matthew chapter 21 and John chapter 12 regarding the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And here's where it's prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion," Jerusalem, that holy hill, the Mount Zion there. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." You know, Brother Jason Schultz and the message that he preached about the triumphant entry of the Lord just really opened up some things to me that I'd never seen before regarding such. And you know what it seems like, and what we see in this prophecy? The Lord is going to rule and reign. Is he not? And honor and glory and majesty is due him. And all the time through his ministry, he always deferred. "Don't tell anybody that I healed. Don't tell anybody that I brought anybody from the dead. Don't," he told to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, "don't tell anybody that you've seen my glory." Isn't that something? And then we come to this time here where the Lord says, "Go get the donkey and its foal and bring her to me." And they put the clothes on the foal, and the Lord got up on there, and he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. I tell you what, it's the beginning of the king coming. It's the beginning of the king coming to his city, his holy mount of Zion. Now understand this. It's the beginning of the conquering of our Lord. It's the beginning, if you will, of the war. I don't like that terminology, but I don't know how else to say it at this time. There's many battles that need to be fought in this warfare of our Lord. And you know what? It started right there as he came around the south side of the Mount of Olives from Bethany right on into Jerusalem. You know what the first battle, you know what the first thing that needed to be dealt with? Our king is on his way, and the first step that he needed to come in the flesh and do is establish the New Testament with his blood. You know, the Old Testament was established and was settled and sealed with blood. But you know what? Showing some time, it could not be kept. Our Lord came and he told his church, he told those disciples there in the church, he said that his blood, he said this is the New Testament that he sealed with his blood. And we see that in the Lord's Supper and what the Lord gave them then. And you know what? He settled that New Testament, and there's been some time. There's been some time. You know what? That New Testament has worked, hadn't it? Amen. Salvation is him, is in him by repentance and faith. Salvation is of the Lord. He moves with his spirit. He sends his word. He makes it effectual. He draws sinners. He saves their souls. He sent his church out to tell the message of that New Testament. You know what? And it works because it's all of him. And the king is coming. He's on a far journey, as the Lord tells us, and he is on his way. That first step was for him to triumph over sin and death. You know what? You and I, the disciples of that day, they thought that he needed to come in, slap down Pilate, slap down Herod, get an army of the Jews together and wipe out the Romans and set up the kingdom. You know what? The first thing that needed to be done is deal with our sin. Deal with our sin. The thing that needed to be dealt with was to deal with death that no one has ever been able to deal with before. I tell you what, well, as it says here in this Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." And he's coming. He's been coming for 2,000 years. And I tell you what, he's not held up. He's not slowed down in anything. He's right on his time frame. And you know what? He's on his way. He's on his way to his holy hill. In Romans chapter 9, verse number 33, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense to some, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." He's coming. He's coming. He's on his way. He's building. Remember how we read over there that when he builds it, his glory will shine? Oh, what a wondrous thing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." That's what was done in that day when Jesus gave his life on Calvary, when he entered into that city, when he came into his own and they received him not, when he came and he preached his glorious gospel and fulfilled it, the cornerstone was being laid to the building of the Lord there in that mount in the city of the Lord. The Jews looked, and indeed we understand that we have a great deliverer. In Romans chapter 11, verse number 26, "So all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer." And he came, didn't he? He came. He went to that place and he died in that region, in that area, that place of Zion. He was outside the camp to fulfill what the law said, but it was yet in that place that our Lord came and rose victorious. You know, the hope, remember Brother Pittman's messages about how great fear were upon the disciples, but then at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had great joy. And he mentioned some intermediary parts there. A deliverer has come out of Zion. He has, a redeemer has come out of Zion. The redeemer shall come. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, a prophecy from Isaiah 59. He will rule and reign. We see in Revelation chapter 14, turn over here, Revelation chapter 14, he's coming. He's on his way. His work is at hand. It has been for 2,000 years, and there's nothing out of sorts about it. It's right on time. And one day we're going to physically see our Lord, and he's going to rule and reign. Look in Revelation 14, verse number 1, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads." He's going to stand there again in that place. In Ezekiel chapter 43, which we've seen in recent times, verse number 7, Ezekiel declares, "And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever." And where is he? Right there in Jerusalem, right there on Mount Zion, right there in the holy mountain of God. He said, "My holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom." He's putting away sin. And he will be worshiped and praised. We come over here to Revelation chapter 21. We just don't have time. Brother Stephen read this chapter here a couple Sundays ago. And we see here about even in the new heaven and the new earth, that of Zion, the holy city, the holy hill, the holy mountain of God is here even in this new heaven and this new earth. He he describes these things, and it tells in verse number 3, "Behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and their God." He makes all things new. He's the beginning and the end, verse number 6. And we come down here, verse number 10, "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Zion. Zion, even in this new heaven and the earth, the expanse of it, 12 to 1500 miles cube in its footprint or its aspect. It's just a huge, huge place. It's the city of God, where he dwells there amongst his people forever. And you know what? Verse number 24, we read here, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." They'll flow through it, flow into it, as we have read. In conclusion, Mount Zion. Thank God for Mount Zion and what a blessing Mount Zion is unto us and will be unto us in eternity to come, in days and eternity to come. In Hebrews chapter 11, I want us to be the challenge to be renewed unto us in this. And maybe we haven't considered these things before as we should. But we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, about our brother Abraham. And I tell you what, Brother Mark is doing a character study about Brother Abraham. And right now his name's Abram. So you need to come early so you can hear about this and learn about this. Listen to what it says. The scripture says, our Lord says about our brother, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place where he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went." As a brother, some of the brethren were talking before services, he didn't send ahead, didn't shoot an email over there, see how things are going in Canaan. What's it look like up in Haran? He didn't do that. He obeyed. He went. "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise." That promise was of the Lord. "In a strange country, it was unknown to him, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with brother Isaac and brother Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations." You see a comma there? Any city that you and I have do not have foundations that will endure. Any city that is built of men will not endure the shaking and the judgment and the scrutiny of our Lord. Brother Abraham was looking for a city that hath foundations. Foundations, and what do we see? The rock. The rock. "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, a foundation of our Lord." He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Have you found this city yet? Are you looking for this city? Well, you know, we can go back to what we saw at the beginning about this present tense and this future tense. You know, we found that city, we who are saved, and we're traveling towards it. Oh, we haven't experienced it physically. But I tell you what, we've certainly experienced it spiritually, haven't we? Our Lord died for us there. Our Lord ministered there for us. Our Lord ascended from there. Our Lord's returning from there. We have great hope in those things. But one day we will be there. And we will rejoice in him. Have you found this city yet? Are you looking for this city? Are you have expectation about this city? Thank God for Zion. And all that it represents, all that he has done for us. I want you to look over here in John chapter 14. And the Lord take this and bring this together for us. I want you to understand. I want us to understand greater what our Lord has done for us and what he is doing for us. Brother Abraham looked for a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. Have you found this city? Are you looking for this city? We are saved. We've experienced it. We've experienced about this city some, but we look forward to the blessing of the Lord in the future. John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God," our Lord Jesus says, "believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I think we, as the Lord's children and His church in that day, I think we're going to be living in the city myself. All that's up to the Lord. He'll put us right where He wants us. But if I understand the scriptures correctly, we're going to be living in that city that's going to come down. We're going to be headquartered out of that city during the millennial reign. He's got a place for us. He's building that place for us. Isn't that what He says? He says, don't be troubled. Believe in me. There's a lot of places in my Father's house. I would have told you if it wasn't so. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, verse number 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I tell you what, if you've got doubt, take a look over at John chapter 17 and what the Lord said. The Lord wants so much that for that fellowship that He has with the Father, for that fellowship to be enjoyed by you and me with Him and God Almighty, our Father, together, that we might be with Him where He is. We partake of that city. We do so now, and we enjoy the promises that we have by our Lord in it. What is your mountain? Thank God for Mount Zion. I tell you what, I claim that mountain, don't you? I praise God for that mountain and what He's done for me in regards to Mount Zion. Thank God. Thank God. Because of Jesus, we've partaken of that mountain and we are going there. You that are here and not saved, why don't you go with us? Amen. Why don't you go with us to the great mountain of God? Thank God for Mount Zion.